Ismail created are from a group of religious music from Bandung, Bimbo.
Oh, kalau dengan Bimbo banyak banyak sekali.
With Bimbo, there are a lot of songs. So, three of them are the brothers who are very creative. Just singing and whistling. As they sang, they were recorded and then the tape was handed to me. Then I sometimes asked what the theme was. Then they said that this was about salat, praying about yearning. But if there are many, it's up to you, brother. I love, but I am sometimes confused too.
Sajadah panjang terbentang dari kaki buangan sampai ke tepi kuburan hamba, kuburan hamba bila mati.
Kalau jelas betul misalnya tentang salat, seperti misalnya
obviously the clear one is for example about salat or prayer such as long mat or long sajadah. It was good. I imagine the salat. When I imagine salat, I imagine a salat mat. But how did I get it into the lyrics? Oh, could I? I imagine our life was running over the world on salat mat. But the mat was too long. Initially, it was in the baby crib and then ended up in our cemetery. And we walk in the world on this salat mat. When the imagination was found out, I then wrote the lyrics. It became easy, but getting the idea was difficult.
Seharian begitu terdengar suara azan.
Taufik Ismail is one of the greatest writers owned by Indonesia until now. Hopefully, all his work may color the literature sphere and Indonesian music.
Panjang terbentang hambat tunduk dan
Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. Only on Indonesia Today.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. Ricardo and Dus Duk Duk has broken the Muri record. This work, which was appreciated by Deputy Minister of Creative Economy Irene Umar, combines paintings with environmentally friendly materials to celebrate Indonesia independence and inspire young people about the importance of creativity and sustainability. This replica will be on display until August 25th, 2025. UN Secretary General's Special Envoy for Water Issues, Retno Marsudi, received the Champion for Water Investment Award at the 2025 Africa Water Infrastructure Summit in Cape Town. The award recognized her leadership in advancing global and regional water investment as part of South Africa G20 presidency. In a video message yesterday, Retno Marsudi reaffirmed her commitment to AAA for water principles, advocacy, alignment and acceleration. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
dari esok sampai selamanya. Kita buka mata bersama, melihat pagi yang berbeda dari arah terbit yang sama. Dingin malam takkan menyakitkan lagi. Ada temanku melihat bintang kini setelah sang ibunda. Kau jadi selanjutnya yang terpaksa terima baik burukku dengan tertawa. Marah sebentar saja, tiga hari lah paling lama. Tak semua hal sama selera, karena berbeda lengkap kita. Jika terluka tetap percaya lagi. Bukan pertama kita lewati ini. Setelah sang ibunda, kau jadi selanjutnya yang terpaksa terima baik burukku dengan tertawa. Setelah beri tanda di pangkal jari manisnya, siapapun yang terlena, maafkan aku, dia sudah ku punya. Oh, Bapa beri restunya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sunset, we're lying on my bed with 5 hours to go. Fingers entwined, and so were our minds crying. I don't want you to go. You wiped away tears, but not fears, under the still and clear indigo. Said, baby, don't cry, we'll be fine. You're the one thing I swear I can't outgrow. My mother said the younger me was a pretending prodigy. Well, nothing that much has changed. Cause while you're wolfing down liquor, my soul, it gets sicker. But I'm sticking to the screenplay. Gotta say I'm okay, but answer this, babe. How is it now that somehow you're a stranger? You were mine just yesterday. block and my airway dissipates and instead deters your airplane's way. But heaven denied, destiny decried, something beautiful died.
Listeners, what do you know about Indonesian arts and culture scholarship for the world? You know, turns out Indonesian government and a lot of Indonesian institutions have that kind of scholarship for people all over the world. So if you want to listen to more of this, we have a VOI talk with my colleague Ray on this topic.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello. Hello, Voi listener. Welcome to a special episode of VOI Talk. And right now, in the studio, live on Voice of Indonesia English broadcast, where today I'm going to discuss something outside Indonesia. Not just outside Indonesia, but it is actually in Indonesia. But it is quite an interesting program. And with the theme of today, Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship in 2025. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm here with three honorable guests. We have here Ibu Ani Nigeriawati. How are you, Bu?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so then we have two guests from outside of Indonesia, and one of them is Emmanuel Kiganza. How are you today?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here today.
Yeah. Okay, so, and finally we have Monoj Kadga. I'm sorry, I don't want to mispronounce your name. Okay, so Emmanuel and Monoj is a student from Nepal and Tanzania. Mm-hmm. So they are coming to Jakarta, Indonesia, to Universitas Negeri Jakarta to learn more about the cultures and arts of Indonesia there. Mm-hmm. So without any further ado, let's begin the interview. So you don't have to be nervous. It's just going to be a chill conversation between
sure.
us.
Sure.
Okay, so first I would like to ask Bu Ani first.
Yeah.
So could you explain a little bit to us about the vision and objectives behind this Indonesian Arts and Cultural Scholarship Program? And I heard it's been started since 2003.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. So Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship, mm-hmm. it was first introduced in 2003. Mm-hmm. It is now one of our flagship programs. It is the instrument for us mm-hmm. to bring mm-hmm. our partner countries closer mm-hmm. to Indonesia. It is an instrument of soft power diplomacy to strengthen people-to-people contact. And it is one of the most effective cultural diplomacies that we have been undertaking. And we have alumni of this program since it was introduced in 2003. We have 1,069 alumni from 84 countries. Oh. And now with the participants in this program this year, we are going to have 1,081 alumni from 85 countries, because Nepal
is the first.
This is the first for Nepal.
Okay. Yeah.
We are welcoming Nepal to the family of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship.
Okay, that is amazing, everyone. You can clap if you want.
Yay.
So Indonesia is keep expanding its bilateral relation between other countries also.
Exactly, yes.
And of course, Nepal is the newest one, so I would like to ask Manoj. Yeah. So, can you explain to me, how do you find out about this program, and maybe like, is there any like a test to go to Indonesia or like a assignment to do before you go to Indonesia?
So how I came to know about this program was back in my country. I do some international programs, like many countries from all over the world come to us and we do some programs. Mm. And from that, there is one sir of us that he told me, "Oh, Manoj, if you are interested, I know you love exploring the countries and you love exploring the cultures. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you should go there and give it a go." So I was really excited and knowing about this Indonesian culture, it's been really excited and good for me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, from that I got the chance, and yeah, I just applied it, and maybe
we did the, you know, did the selection.
Oh, selection. Yes. Okay.
And he was selected.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Selamat, as we say it in Indonesia. Okay, so moving on to Emmanuel.
Yes.
So How do you know about this program? And maybe like, it's going to be a different question from Manoj. Maybe like, what is your most memorable thing when you first come to Indonesia? Is it like the suddenly when you came and then the weather suddenly like burst through your face?
Oh,
like,
oh. Oh, so that is so interesting. Mm-hmm. My first impression mm-hmm. When I came to Indonesia, first I can categorize it. Mm-hmm. First, when I take off the plane, the incredible hospitality mm-hmm. of the people of Indonesia mm-hmm. was so amazing. Mm-hmm. Just imagine I was in airport and I ask someone about something and he don't know English, but we communicate.
Oh.
Yeah, so we communicate and he show me the way. So it was so amazing. It's not everywhere that you can get that hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is first one. And the second one is weather. In Indonesia, it's a little bit different to my country. I was like, oh. So this I feel in Indonesia. Yeah. And then another is building, yes,
buildings.
Culture,
mm-hmm.
yes, culture, and everything, people, mm. foods,
okay,
yeah, music,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's so unique.
Mm.
I feel like, oh, this is so good. Yeah, and while we are continue to our program, I was feeling like, oh, so this program is so, it's so important.
Mm.
Maybe I can be like an ambassador to my fellow youth, so I can tell what I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
Okay, I think we're going to have the next ambassador of Tanzania. Okay, that's really amazing. So, coming again to Bu Ani, I would like to ask you, like, in this program, mm-hmm. so since 2003, it mm-hmm. keeps expanding and keeps expanding.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And I heard that since today's program is going to be held until the 23rd of
August.
August,
yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
23rd of August. Will the students over here
mm-hmm.
experience the Indonesian independence? And I think I would like to know, what
yes.
are you planning to
right.
show them
right.
from the Kamloops side of the story?
Yes, basically now they are officially
mm-hmm.
friends of Indonesia.
Oh, wow.
By joining, participating in this program, they are friends of Indonesia. And when they return to their home country, we would like them
mm-hmm.
to connect with our embassies
mm-hmm.
or our missions
yes.
in their respective countries. Therefore, while they are here, we want to introduce them as much as possible what we can offer, not only about the culture itself, but also the tradition, way of life, and then how Indonesian people live together side by side, as well as we are approaching the celebration of our Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have them actually in our carnival
mm-hmm.
On the 17th of
August
to celebrate the our Independence Day, Indonesia's mm-hmm. Independence Day. We are going to have a carnival in Monas. And yeah, as part of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs carnival.
Yeah. Okay, so coming to Monas, mm-hmm. especially on the Independence Day,
mm-hmm.
I think there will experience many festive
exactly,
things. You
exactly.
can see jets flying around the Monas, as you heard over here. And then, like, I think, is there a chance for them to, like, mm-hmm. Meet maybe with the president of Indonesia if they have the chance, like,
well,
the parade?
There is no schedule
okay.
For doing so,
mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
They already met with our vice foreign minister
okay.
and had chit-chat
mm-hmm.
and then already visited our our ministry's building as well, mm-hmm. to visit the Gedung Pancasila.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
And I think from the University of Negeri Jakarta already took them around Jakarta as well. To introduce them with the historical buildings and the beautiful sights that Jakarta can offer.
Okay, that is really amazing. And so, moving back to the two of you, I heard that you went to Universitas Negeri Jakarta. Actually, I'm an alumni there. And so, what do you think about when visiting to Universitas Negeri Jakarta, and what did my campus, like our Universitas Negeri Jakarta, showed you around Jakarta, Indonesia? Is there like any stories that you would like to share to us?
maybe story. It's like many of students. Mm-hmm. In the same hospitality. From students to other people, they something we share different things, some story, some culture, because I'm from another place, they from here, so they are interesting to know much better about my culture, my country, how do we live, our food the same to Indonesian, so it's good, yeah.
What about you, Munaj?
Yeah, when we go to UNJ, every day there's something happening. A lot of students are doing many activities, and we just see that and we are enjoying it. And sometimes we talk with them, and we went to a few buildings, a few faculties. Everything was great, so yeah, it was great.
Okay.
It's great.
Okay, so maybe the question for the three of you, I would like to ask you, how are you going to spend, since we are in the festive mood, especially for the 80th anniversary of, and I mean the 80th Independence Day of Indonesia. Is there any plans on from the ministry and also the both of you to like celebrate the Independence Day?
As far as I know, the Universitas Negeri Jakarta on the 17th of August, they're going to organize competition, you know, like festivities in their campus, where they can, you know, join, such as, you know, like the activities, sport activities, and other activities that you normally have during the celebration of Indonesia's Independence Day. Those kind of activities, they're going to have it, and in the evening they're going to be taking part in the carnival that I mentioned in Monas.
So it is going to be a busy schedule for you this Sunday.
You will enjoy it.
You will enjoy it. Of course you must enjoy it. Okay, now speaking outside of the topic, I would like to ask about the culture of Indonesia. Maybe like, can you tell me what is your most unique and tasty food, maybe, when you visit Indonesia?
Yeah, there are like lot of it, and especially the friend of mine, they recommended me, you should try this, so the martabak.
Oh, martabak?
Yeah.
Okay.
The martabak, I like it, it's really good, and about the curry, the rendang chicken I really like that.
Okay. So martabak, is it the sweet one or the egg one?
It's the chocolate peanut one.
Oh, chocolate peanut.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. So it's quite unique. Usually what they usually mention is rendang, but when you say martabak, it's like, oh, it's new. The one who recommends you that is, should get applause for it.
Yeah, I'll give them applause.
Emmanuel, what about you?
There is a lot of food. And every day, like, I try a new thing. Sometimes I forget name, but I remember, like, oh, there's something. But my favorite is nasi goreng.
Nasi goreng, of course. I agree with you, because that's my favorite as well. Maybe, like, Bu Ani, maybe what is your favorite food in Indonesia? Since the ministry, go around taste foods.
Interestingly, my directorate of public diplomacy, our taking care of the promotion of Indonesian food. We have this program, what we call it, the Indonesian Gastro Diplomacy Series. We promote our food to international audience. And from the ministry itself, we do have this database, what we call it, dashboard of Indonesian Gastro Diplomacy, that presents the number of Indonesian restaurants overseas, as well as the most favorite Indonesian food overseas. Five.
There's five.
Yes, five. First one is rendang. Second one, nasi goreng. Third one, gado-gado. The fourth one is satay. And the fifth one is noodle. Like meatball. Noodle, bakso, and then rank six is soto.
Soto.
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of foods, I'm getting really hungry after. Okay. As we are reaching the afternoon, I'm going to ask the final question for the three of our honorable guests here. Like, can you say three words for the Independence Day of Indonesia and maybe in Indonesia in general? Describe it in three words.
Well,
it's simple. You like food, unity, and hospitality. It's good enough. Okay.
That's the one.
Make your own. Don't use mine. Okay.
May I start from you?
Hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
A unit.
Unit.
And friendship.
Friendship.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, of course. The friendship between nations is really important as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And Manoj.
One, diversity.
Diversity.
And another, I shouldn't miss food.
Food, okay.
Yeah, and the culture.
Culture.
Yeah.
And maybe Bu Ani, describe this program in three words. Not Indonesia, but this program.
This program.
Yes.
Friendship.
Friendship.
People to people.
People to people, okay.
Contact.
Contact, all right.
Friends of Indonesia.
Friends of Indonesia. You heard it there, folks. And thank you so much for the three of you for coming to the studio and share your experience and describing to us about this program, especially here in Voice of Indonesia. Okay, thank you so much, Bu Ani, Emmanuel, and Manoj for coming here.
Thank you so much.
And for listener, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this special interview. And it is really unique. And I hope the best for Indonesia and also the other countries that is in relations with Indonesia and keep getting closer together and maybe spread the words of peace from Indonesia to the world in the future, and maybe from Nepal and Tanzania to the world.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Ray, and I'll see you in the other episode of Special Interview with the Voice of Indonesia VI Talk. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mungkinkah kau mampir hari ini? Bila tidak mirip kau, jadilah bunga matahari. tiba-tiba mekar di taman. Meski bicara dengan bahasa tumbuhan, ceritakan padaku bagaimana tempat tinggalmu yang baru. Adakah sungai-sungai itu benar-benar dilintasi dengan air susu? Juga badanmu tak sakit-sakit lagi. Kau dan orang-orang di sana muda lagi. Semua pertanyaan temukan jawaban. Hati yang gembira sering kau tertawa. Benarkah orang bilang ia memang suka bercanda? Mungkinkah kau mampir hari ini? Bila tidak mirip kau, jadilah bunga matahari yang tiba-tiba mekar di taman. Meski bicara dengan bahasa tumbuhan, kan ku ceritakan padamu bagaimana hidupku tanpamu. Kangennya masih ada di setiap waktu. Kadang aku menangis bila aku perlu. Tapi aku sekarang sudah lebih lucu. Jadilah menyenangkan seperti katamu. Jalani hidup dengan penuh sukacita. Dan percaya kau ada di hatiku selamanya. Sekarang janji kita pastikan bertemu lagi.
Di dalam bangsa. dunia. Kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia. Sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Sesungguhnya. Aspirasi bangsa, aspirasi kita Indonesia. Sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia, sesungguhnya.
The Land Above the Clouds is the nickname of Dieng Valley in central Java. This valley has a main tradition held annually that features cutting off dreadlocks on children as part of Dieng Culture Festival. They are not ordinary children. They had the dreadlocks after they mysteriously had high fever and their illness was not detected medically. The next day, the dreadlocks appears on their head, and it can only be cut with a long sequence of ritual, where the whole villagers has their own parts.
Ya, kalau yang minta kan gembelnya ya. Gembelnya kalau orang tua kan kaya itu yang minta apa kentut satu kantong plastik sama telur puyuh satu itu orangnya kaya. Bener. Kan disuruh teman-teman minta mobil, minta enggak harusnya minta kentut untuk mainan gini kok, buat mainan katanya. Nah, saya sampai sore dua kali saya tanyain, enggak belok-belok itu minta kentut sama ibunya buat mainan gini udah. Yang minta gembelnya bukan anaknya, bukan gembelnya yang minta. Kalau gembel itu enggak bisa dilubah.
Our journey to Dieng village in Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java, was an unforgettable experience. It took 12 hours from Jakarta until we reached in Dieng. With a scenic winding road with a green potatoes plantation and people residents along, made it worth it. Cold wind welcomed our arrival upon Dieng village. We visited this village to witness a unique annual event. It was the ritual of cutting the dreadlocks of Dieng children, who are called Anak Bajang. But why does cutting dreadlock need a long ritual and involve the whole village?
Karena kalau anak gembel itu kan titipan dari Dewi Roro Runcie dari Samudro.
We believe the dreadlock was a gift from goddess Roro Runcie from Kidul Sea. She gave it to Kiai Agung Kaladete as his apprentice. After the dreadlock is cut, it will be put in a jar. The jar then will be put on river that flows to Kidul Sea. It is like we return the dreadlock to the goddess.
Cilarung, air yang mengalir ke Samudra Kidul dikembalikan, dikembalikan yang menitipi supaya tidak gembel lagi.
For many years, Basumanto had carried out the dreadlock cutting ritual. The Anak Bajang are believed to be special children of Dieng, who bridge our reality and the unseen realm.
Karena filosofinya adalah anak gimbal merupakan titipan yang maha kuasa, di mana orang Dieng mempercayai bahwa yang maha kuasa selalu menitipkan apapun yang dia kehendaki itu.
The philosophy of dreadlock children is that they are a gift from God. The young people believes that God always entrusts anything He will through a medium. This medium bridges the seen and the unseen. So, the ritual is simply about respecting the unseen without worshipping them. We also believe our ancestor, Tumenggung Kolodete, also did the ritual. He cut his child's dreadlock and then let the dreadlock flows into the Southern Sea. It is because the past believed that the hair also belongs to the god. The Javanese must have goodwill and ethics. If something was entrusted to us through the medium, we should return it through the medium too. It is to avoid miscommunication and to appreciate the medium too.
Kan harus punya tata krama ketika mempercayai bahwa kita meminjam, dipinjami barang melalui perantara, maka alangkah baiknya pengembaliannya juga melalui perantara sehingga tidak miskomunikasi, ataupun akan lebih baik bahwa yang menjadi perantara juga kita hargai. Itu seperti itu.
Ali Fauzi, born in Dieng, upholds the cultural value in this ritual. He managed to preserve his ancestors' heritage in a more modern way, without removing the traditional element of the ritual itself. He initiated the Dieng Culture Festival, an event that could bring many tourists while keep allowing the long ritual process.
Ya, inilah budaya kita yang penuh dengan filosofi yang bagus sekali, di mana kegiatan rentetan, kegiatan ritual pencukuran rambut gimbal ini memang panjang sebetulnya. Hanya memang saat ini kita atraksi puncaknya, tapi perlu saya jelaskan apa sih yang panjang itu. Tentunya dimulai dengan acara napak tilas. Napak tilas ada di beberapa tempat, bahkan hampir lebih dari 20 tempat. Ini adalah konsep dari pelestarian lingkungan sebetulnya, di mana para pemangku adat, pemangku budaya, tokoh masyarakat yang terlibat dalam napak tilas ini adalah berkunjung beberapa tempat yang dianggap sakral atau dianggap harus dihargai, karena dampak dari hidupnya lingkungan di satu tempat itu akan membeli siklus kehidupan yang ada di bumi ini. Katakanlah ke satu mata air yang dianggap sakral, karena mata air itu tentu harus kita survei, harus kita lihat, harus kita hargai pohon-pohon di sekitarnya. Karena pohon yang bagus, mata air yang bagus tentu akan memberikan efek kehidupan yang baik untuk manusia sendiri. Jadi ini napak tilas selama beberapa hari dengan 20 tempat adalah bagaimana hubungan manusia dengan sekitarnya, manusia dengan manusia ini harus terjalin secara harmonis. Nah, selain memang hubungan dengan Sang Maha Pencipta sebagai pencipta alam semesta ini menjadi kunci bahwa, mohon maaf, kami tidak menyembah tempat, tetapi kami menghargai tempat. Karena bagaimanapun alam ini sebetulnya mereka bernafas, pohon bernafas, tentu kita harus menghargai ciptaan yang maha kuasa lainnya. Itu seperti itu. 23 tempat itu panjang, ada yang jalan kaki, kecuali yang jauh saat ini mungkin dibantu dengan kendaraan, setelah itu jalan kaki. Dan juga para pemangku adat itu melakukan beberapa persyaratan, biasanya berpuasa dan lain-lain.
This deeply philosophical ritual of cutting dreadlock is really long. It begins with visiting 20 sacred places. The elders and the community figures involved will visit the places deemed sacred for their impact towards life. It is like preserving the environment. For instance, we visit a sacred water spring. We survey the spring and appreciate the trees around it. In there, we could see how a good water spring can bring good effect to lives, including us human being. 5 days before ritual, the elders did the prihatin during the visit. The night before the ritual, the dreadlock children will be gathered in a small banquet as a gratitude that the children had arrived at the place of an elder. In the morning, the children will be paraded on a carriage across the village, and the parade is followed by art performances. Meanwhile, the tourists can stay across the Dieng Kulon village area to Suharto Witlam or Dharmasala, because in there, the dreadlock children will undergo a purification ritual. During the previous visits, elders collected water for purification. This purification aims to strip away wickedness from the children. Then, after the purification, the children will be carried again to Arjuna Temple. In the temple, they will cut the dreadlock of the children one by one. The first cut will be done by the elders, and after that, other can also cut the dreadlock under the guidance of the elders. After that, there will be another gratitude banquet called Pengalah Berkah. Visitors can join the event. Since we prepared a banquet for all people to eat together as a gratitude to the God for the dreadlock cutting ritual had been done. But the last ritual will be the flowing the dreadlocks.
Jamas anak-anak gimbal. Ini salah satu filosofi sebetulnya. Apapun ketika ada kegiatan yang bertujuan baik, itu alangkah baiknya itu semua dibersihkan. Maka diharapkan juga memakai pakaian yang baik, pakaian yang bagus, itu yang kita bersyukur sudah kita fasilitasi biasanya yang nanti.
Hair is a crown for a human, especially woman. It may coincide with the fact that most Bajang children in Dieng are female. The Bajang children who have dreadlocks are mostly 2 to 12 years old. For instance, Alita from Wonosobo. Since 2 years old, she had asked the dreadlocks to be cut in Dieng village. She also asked 2 goats.
Ini si Alita sendiri yang minta dari usia 2 tahun.
Alita herself wanted the dreadlocks cutting in Dieng since she was 2 years old. She also wished for 2 goats.
Minta kambing 2. Dipotong di mana di Dieng?
Permintaannya kok umpama telur puyuh 1.
Wishes are specific, such as 1 quail egg. The egg must be 1 and must be from quail. If not fulfilled, the dreadlock will return and condition will worsen.
Like other traditions in Indonesia, this ritual has detailed preparation with full philosophical meaning. For instance, in the parade to Arjuna Temple where the dreadlocks will be cut, there was a cart full of Bajang children's wishes. There was also another cart with 4 colored tumpang. Tumpang is a cone-shaped rice dish with side dishes of vegetables and meat.
Jadi kalau tumpang robjong itu bawa rambut gimbal itu kan seperti padi contohnya itu. Nah, jadi ada gembel padi, ada rambut gimbal.
So, tumpang rojong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There's dreadlock that is like rice. Another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agricultural trade. White means purity, that we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya. Jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nekang-nekung, kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling
itu yang berwarna putih, gitu.
Another detail about dreadlocks cutting ritual is that it always held during dry season, where the temperatures in Dieng Hill fell to 4 degrees Celsius. The meeting between hot and cold mountain air created mist across the hill since dawn. But then, when the ritual began, the mist will be replaced by warm sunlight. Preserving tradition when advanced technologies invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of Dieng people on the value of their tradition proves that tradition can coexist with modernization.
In recent years, Bali has faced its share of challenges. Overcrowded beaches, cultural sites in disrepair, and a growing litter problem have left many concerned about the island's future. and it's clear that something needs to change. However, from adversity comes an opportunity for renewal. Bali has embarked on a journey towards sustainable tourism by introducing regulations. Then why does Bali need tourist levy? The answer is simple. To preserve Bali's natural beauty, cultural heritage, and enhance the visitor experience. Tourist levy regulations help protect and restore Bali's cultural treasures. They ensure all human beings respect, maintain, and appreciate sacred sites. Now, Bali is working towards cleaner, more pristine environments. As you explore Bali, remember to do it with respect for the local culture and environment. By contributing to the tourist levy, you're actively participating in sustainable tourism. Your support helps preserve Bali's natural beauty and cultural heritage for generations to come. Leave beautiful footprints, and the memories will last a lifetime. In conclusion, the Bali Tourist Levy is not just a fee, but an investment in Bali's continued allure. Your contribution shapes a brighter future for this island paradise, ensuring it remains a haven for all who visit. Together, we can protect its natural beauty, cultural heritage, and ensure a harmonious coexistence. This regulation will be implemented in 2024. Let's cherish Bali together and leave a legacy of responsible travel.
Berpisah dengan cinta di Jatinegara. Sekejap hati ini menjadi sengsara. Tak kuasa untuk menahan rindu sementara, padahal lusa kita jumpa.
Tenanglah, aku takkan pergi lama-lama. Izinkan ku sejenak meninggalkan kota sebelum melanjutkan mimpi yang cemerlang. Di gambir aku akan pulang. Langit malam yang terang, kita lanjut berlaga. Di Jakarta hidup berdasar selalu tawa tawa. Senang bukan cuma harta, lucunya kota Jakarta.